With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. I'm Amy Frost, and today we're at the National Equine Forum. It's a day when 250 of the top industry experts get together to discuss the future of the equestrian industry. And my guest is Nigel Oakley. He's the Heavy Horse Ambassador for the Rare Breed Survival Trust. How are you, Nigel?
I'm very good, thank you.
Good. Now, I've been dying to speak to you for ages because you own some of the most beautiful horses. You own the Suffolk Punches.
Yes, I have at the moment on the farm 8 Suffolks and 2 Shires. There are 3 heavy horses in the United Kingdom, the Shire, the Clydesdale and the Suffolk horse. Mm. The Suffolk is the most critically endangered. The other two, the Shire and the Clydesdale, are on the watch list of the RBST.
Really? How many do you think there are in the country?
I'm a past president of the Suffolk Horse Society, a trustee of the Suffolk Horse Society. I can speak for the Suffolk. There are around 500 registered Suffolks with the Suffolk Horse Society.
So does that mean they're close to being extinct?
They're on the critically endangered list. And in fact, I was at the opening of the new AI centre up in Shropshire, and if we don't address the problem seriously, by 2027 we will have so much inbreeding it would be difficult to save the breed. So there is a big campaign by both the Suffolk Horse Society and the RBST and quite a few other people come to that to address the problem.
These horses are so gorgeous. Last Christmas I was lucky because we had 2 Suffolk Punches that drove through the village carrying the Christmas tree, and it was so magical to watch them do that. What do you use them for every day? Because you own Reed Hall Farm Park, so what do you do on a daily basis with them?
Well, I nearly said unfortunately I'm getting older, but that's better than the alternative. I used to cut the corn with them. I still plough about 20 acres with my Suffolks. I do a lot of demonstration work at county shows. I've been involved in 5 countryfile programs, and we get quite a lot of film work. But I teach driving horses on the highway to youngsters and to adults. Really, without young people learning the arts of the heavy horse, then there isn't a real point in saving the heavy horse. So we must make sure future generations are up to speed on that, really.
Mm. And what made you stay with the heavy horses and Suffolk Punches rather than moving on to tractors?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously most farms use tractors and mechanical means, but both the RBST and the Suffolk also, and most of us who keep heavy horses believe there are still opportunities. Although I am not of the age now where I want to cut corn and so on with them, I still plough, as I said. But, even in tourism, the horses are working. It's not, taking people round or displays for tourism is an active role. Forestry is the main really viable job for the Suffolk horse, or indeed the Shire or the Clydesdale. Mm. The SSI, Triple Scientific Areas, where you can't use petrochemical fuels for environmental reasons, the horse is still a very viable option. So I think there are ways that we can survive with a horse in a viable manner.
I heard that they're actually better than the tractors and things because you can get closer. It's a lot more intricate. The ploughing is much more detailed. Is that right?
Well, it is. I mean, to be truthful, you couldn't farm England with horses any longer. The population demand for food is so great, it would be, it wouldn't be sensible. I mean, people say to me, you know, you do it for the love of doing it. Well, I don't see anything wrong with that, to be truthful. Mm-hmm. People play golf or keep classic cars. There isn't a lot of revenue made from that, I wouldn't think. But you've got to... Not everything has a monetary value. And I, for one, rejoiced when they rebuilt Windsor Castle after the Great Fire. That's part of our national heritage. And the livestock, you know, the rare breed livestock is our national heritage. And if we want our great-grandchildren's children to have the privileges we've had, then we must address it and stand up to our responsibilities.
Mm, I completely agree with you. You mentioned three heavy horses, the Suffolk Punches, Clydesdales and the Shire. Where do the Percherons fit in?
The Percheron isn't recognised as a British breed. It came over after the Great War when we lost a lot of horses in the First World War, and there was, you know, the horse was still part of the agricultural scene then. But as far as RBST are concerned, it's not a native breed.
Oh, I see, because I have some Percherons at the back of my house, and they quite often do a lot of work, and it's fascinating to watch them and watch them pulling the hay, and they do a lot of ploughing with them. And what fascinates me the most is how gentle these horses are. They're heavy horses, they're so powerful, but they have such kind souls.
Yeah, I mean, there is a saying, gentle giants. I can't say I totally agree with that, because I break in probably about 15 heavy horses a year for myself and other people. And they're like children, really. They need schooling, and then they become manageable. But they have got a nice temperament, there's no doubt about that. I mean, I've got Shires now, and I've kept Clydesdales, and they're a lovely horse. I've no compunction in recommending either Shires or Clydesdales to anyone, although I'm a Suffolk horseman. They're all lovely breeds and are part of our living heritage and should be looked at in the same light as any other rarity. I think it's people are very aware of this sort of thing now, thank goodness. You know, when I was a youngster, I suppose that's how I got involved in the heavy horse. I can still remember a horse on the farm at home when I was a child, but I was quite small. And then when I got the time and the finance to be able to keep them, it was a thing that developed naturally with me, really.
Nigel, do you think we could give them another job? Do you think maybe that might help? Because if their job... Not that all horses, you know, I don't believe that horses should be kept just to do a job anyway, but if they're rare and they were predominantly used for farming and they're not needed for farming anymore, it'd be such a sad loss to see them go. So is there, what else can we use them for?
Well, as I said, the Forestry Commission and privately owned forestry in the States use horses on a permanent basis. They have got a genuine job. And I recently had a visit from some gentlemen from France who run 16 heavy horses on a vineyard, and they were looking to buy three Suffolk mares. So we've got quite a large grape growing industry in this country now, so perhaps with help from people we could introduce the horse to that particular job, because it would... I've used them in a vineyard in this country, my own horses, and they do the job well and to a equally financially viable as using mechanical means. So, and they've got the benefit of being an attraction to the public, plus that they're totally environmentally friendly.
And they're just so lovely to have. I'd much rather look outside and see three Suffolk Punches than a big tractor.
Well, they say you can't talk to a tractor. I think I have spoken to mine, but then I am from Suffolk. But the horses, they understand a lot more than people give them credit for. Yeah. I mean, I had a horse that I drove in a brewery dray at county shows, and you really didn't have to, obviously you had the reins in your hand, but he understood most of his instructions by word. He was a marvellous horse.
Mm. And where's he now?
Unfortunately, I took him up to the Royal Highland Show in Edinburgh, and he got bitten by a tick and got Lyme disease, and we spent a lot of money and time and effort on him, but unfortunately we lost him.
Oh, no, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that a thing the size of a tick can kill an animal that weighs over a ton, but there you go.
Mm. So you have over 10 horses altogether?
Yes, I have.
And how long have you had them?
I've kept Suffolks for, I think, 36 years.
Wow. And what was it that made you choose the Suffolk to begin with?
Well, people ask me that. I honestly don't know. I suppose one is it was a Suffolk wed on the farm at home when I was a child, and the other is I'm a Suffolk man, and the Suffolk is the most critically endangered of the breeds, and it was a natural choice as far as I'm concerned. And I wanted them for agricultural work, which the Suffolk was bred and developed for. Its conformation and build is exactly right for agricultural work.
Do you know, I'm really lucky. I live near Dorset, and we have the Dorset Heavy Horse Centre here. But they seem to have a lot of shires more than the other heavy horses.
Yeah, there is a friend of mine lives in Dorset, Randy Hiscock. They were probably his horses that pulled your Christmas tree, I would think. And Randy's a great ambassador for the Suffolk horse.
But there seems to be more shires. I see more shires than I do Suffolks.
Yeah, well, numerically, the shire is far outweighs the Suffolk. The shire is on Category 4 of the Rare Breed Survival Trust list, and the Suffolk is on Category 1, which is the critically endangered one. So there are obviously a lot more shires around, although they are a rare breed. They are certainly more numerically sound than the Suffolk.
So, Nigel, what can we do? How can we help? Because I can't breed. You know, I'd love to, but I'd be useless. So what can we do as a community to help keep the Suffolks going?
You know, like everything these days, it's fundraising that keeps things going. And I think all of the societies, the Shire Horse Society, the Clydesdale and the Suffolk, all have friends of the horse. And people needn't own a horse to become a member of either of the societies. And they needn't be an active member. They can be a friend of the society. And all of these breed societies have functions throughout the year, social events and so on. So, you are, as individuals, helping preserve our heritage, but you also can get involved with the horses so that you have a hands-on sort of thing. I can't speak too much about the Shire and the Clydesdale Society because I'm not totally involved with them, but I know they have some very, very capable and passionate people there. And the Suffolk Horse Society, we have a thing called our Spectacular, which is where all the Suffolks that can get together and have an open day for the public, and that brings the attention of people, you know, where our rare breeds are, what sort of state they're in. And to be fair, at the moment, they're not in that healthier state.
So are you saying that we need to breed more?
We certainly need to breed more. And you see, that the trouble when they get numerically small in numbers, their bloodline and DNA has to be watched so that you don't get inbreeding, so that, you know, the diversity of the bloodlines has got to be kept apart. But we have some very clever people in, you know, science in that direction has moved on in leaps and bounds. I don't profess to know the ins and outs of it all, but, you know, frozen semen is used now, even embryo transfer. There are so many aids that can be done, but all these things have a value, and unfortunately they're still quite expensive, but they are becoming cheaper as science moves forward.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So let's say we breed a Suffolk. I'm trying to look at it from how can we all help? We don't all need to use them. I would quite love to have a farm with every possible breed, but, you know, it's just not affordable. So let's say I wanted to donate to help breed one Suffolk Punch. Say I said to you, right, okay, here you go, Nigel, here's some money. Go and breed a Suffolk Punch. What would you then do with that horse? Would you then use it, or would you be able to sell it on?
Yeah, there's two options, really. I mean, like all rare animals, from snow leopards to so on, you can sponsor the breeding of a particular animal, let's say, whichever stud, a Suffolk stud or a Shire or Clydesdale stud, sponsor that animal and then be informed of its life through its life. So it may go to an open farm park where it's on show to the public to promote the breed. It may go on to be an animal that goes to ploughing matches with another horse. You know, they've got all sorts, or an animal that's shown at county shows in a brewery dray or in hand. So, you know, if you had a financial interest in a horse, I mean, there's a lot of people put financial interest quarter shares in race horses and so on and follow its progress through life. So the same could be with the heavy horses. You don't particularly need to own one, but if you had a percentage of sponsorship in it, then you could be kept aware of that horse's lifestyle and successes.
So how much would it cost to breed one Suffolk Punch?
I don't know if my wife's listening in. To be fair, I would think probably about £1,500, with the stud fees are negligible. It's veterinary costs and the feeding regime that needs to go into the mare to make sure you get a healthy foal. And unfortunately, these heavy horses haven't, unless they're really top quality animals, haven't got a big monetary value when they're 2 years old, because you normally would sell a horse as a yearling or as a two-year-old, and they're still not worth sort of mega money. So there's no real monetary gain in breeding heavy horses, to be fair. It's a passion or a lifestyle. No one in their right mind would do it for financial gain. That's my personal opinion. I've never come out in front anyway.
And how much does it cost? I guess it's just like the cost of a normal horse, isn't it? It's the feed, it's the upkeep, but they're quite hardy animals.
Yeah, I mean, you read in books that heavy horses live on mostly nothing. Well, like all of us, they might for a little while, but they would die eventually. They need feeding. They don't need top quality food that you'd put in a thoroughbred to race it. That's obvious. But they need even haylage and hay and that sort of thing. They eat quite large quantities of it, but they're not overly expensive to feed. But like all equines, they're prone to colics and that sort of thing. So it's knowledge of the feeding that's the most important, rather than the cost of the feeding, to be honest.
And you have all this experience because you've been doing it for 35 years. So I think, Nigel, you know, we can all talk about it as much as we like, and it's great to talk about it. But I also think that at some point we have to take some responsibility and we have to actually act on it.
Well, that's a very nice comment, and it's lovely to hear you speak that way. But there is a lot. I mean, I do anyway, get depressed when you watch the news and all you seem to hear is things that are going wrong. Mm. But there are a lot of really nice people in this country. We've got holiday lets on the farm and a lot of people come really to see the horses working. And we've had the holiday lets for 12 years and I've only met one man that I wouldn't be too bothered about meeting again. So the majority of people are, in my opinion, nice, you know, worth their weight in gold, to be honest. And there is a real interest in not only our equine rare breeds, but cattle and sheep and pigs and so on, which, you know, if we lost those bloodlines, that's where all the commercial breeds originate from. So it is more than one reason to keep the bloodlines alive. If we had a catastrophe, you know, with illness or some virus or whatever, having the original breeds to come back to would be our lifeline, to be truthful.
Mm. Let's do it, Nigel. Let's make a little Suffolk.
Yeah.
How does this work?
The heavy horses, they're like in the canine world, really. The smaller the dog, the longer it normally lives, and it's exactly the same in the equine world. A heavy horse doesn't live as long as a Shetland pony, but I've got the Suffolk on the farm at the moment, and she's 24, and I've got a Shire that's 28. So they are remarkable to have lasted that long, really.
Yeah. Well, thank you for everything that you do, and thank you to the Rare Breed Survival Trust. One, for keeping these horses going, because I agree with you. I want my children and my grandchildren to know the heritage of the country and where the horses came from, their history. I find it really fascinating, and it'd be really sad to see them go. So, well, how can we find out more information, Nigel? Do you have a website?
I've got a website, but the Suffolk Horse Society have got a website. The lady who is our executive secretary is on holiday, unfortunately, at the moment. Well, fortunately for her, I suppose. but Jane is very, very helpful. The rest of the staff in there are helpful. And anything you wish to know, they'd be more than happy to furnish you with the details.
Nigel, thank you so much for talking to us today and for speaking at the National Equine Forum. I do wish you all the best with your Suffolk punches, and I'd love to come and visit one day. I think that would be great. If you've enjoyed listening to these podcasts about the National Equine Forum, then for more information, head to their website, nationalequineforum.com. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. You can catch all the podcasts from the National Equine Forum on their website. Just head to nationalequineforum.com and you can see them on our website, horsehour.co.uk. I hope you enjoyed the live stream and getting involved in the conversations, asking your questions to the panel and to the speakers just by using hashtag horsehour, hashtag NEF. You'll be able to replay the videos from the forum if you just have a look at their website and their YouTube channel. Now, this event wouldn't be possible without the friends of the forum. Our corporate friends are the Blue Cross, Dodson and Horrell, the Donkey Sanctuary, Hadlow College, Newshall and SEIB Insurance Brokers. Along with individual friends, thank you so much to everybody that takes part in the National Equine Forum in organising it and making sure it's super successful every single year. We'd also like to say thank you to the forum sponsors, Beta, British Equine Veterinary Association, the British Horse Society, Bransby Horses, the Jeffreys Scholarship Trust, Bedmax, HBLB, Red Wings, Weatherbees, the World Horse Welfare, the Horse Trust, BHA, which is the British Horse Racing Authority, the British Equestrian Federation, and our great supporters, Bully Davy, Craig Payne, NFU Mutual, and we're proud to be supporters of the forum too. Really looking forward to next year. Already there's a date set. It will be the 27th National Equine Forum, and it takes place Thursday the 7th of March 2019. I can't believe we're talking about that already. So pop that in your diary, 7th of March next year. So I hope you enjoyed this year's National Equine Forum. I'll speak to you soon.
You've been listening to Horse Hour. Join the community on Twitter, Mondays, 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern, by using the hashtag horsehour, follow Amy at AmyStevenson1, and subscribe to us on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher, and Player FM.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.